Mount Roturo lurched above the forest like an ugly thumb, throwing its broad-shouldered shadow over the trees. Its sides were crisscrossed with hidden paths, crawling all the way to the snow-shrouded peak. Tunnels bored deep into the mountain's heart, entrances disguised by a long-lost magic. Death lurked in the shadows of path and tunnel, waiting for those who didn't know the proper words, for those who didn't speak quickly enough. Dark, hidden eyes watched from every egress, waiting patiently. Bones, human and animal, lay scattered among faint rust-brown stains, among pitted black scorch marks, beneath heartless rock slides. The mountain knew nothing of forgiveness, of mistakes, of second chances. For Joros, the sight of Mount Roturo sent a rare stab of warmth through his heart. Few enough things could put a smile on his face, but the sight of home after a long journey was one.
"This is it?"
the boy, Rannik, asked, a faint quaver in his voice as he stared up the sheer mountain face.
"Do you see another mountain?"
sneered the woman, Vatira, eyes gleaming eagerly in their blackened sockets. The smattering of bruises across her pale flesh was fading, but slowly. She bore them with pride. Adaro remained silent as always, his broad face thoughtful. Watching his chosen three, Joros was pleased. Mount Roturo should bring fear and awe to those who gazed upon it, as it did with Rannik and Adaro. But Vatira, she saw Roturo's existence as a challenge as much as a wonder. Joros had been lucky to find the woman. The Ventala would be pleased with her, and with him, he had no doubt. "Come," he said, and walked toward the mountain. Adaro followed, tugging the reins of the mule on which Vatira perched, wincing, the fingers of her broken arm clutching at her swollen stomach. Rannik came last, his shoulders hunched as if he could feel the watching eyes. They had come too far, these three, to let fear turn them back now. Their pasts were dead and buried, their only hope, the spire reaching up toward the sky to brush the clouds. They followed Joros as he began the long climb, because they had no other choice. It was hours before Joros paused. His lungs burned, his breath wheezing through his mouth and nose, a stitch sending stabbing pains through his side with each step. His legs were useless lumps, feet slapping clumsily down, teeth rattling with each footfall. Every part of him ached, and he'd never felt so alive. He remembered his first ascent, his feet torn to bloody shreds, hands clawing at his neck with the desperation of too little air. Sweet memories, his finest triumph. He stopped a moment to let his chosen catch their breath. Adaro was heaving in great bellyfuls of air, a hand pressed to his chest as if to assure himself his heart still beat. Vatira clung grimly onto the mule's back, face pale, blackened eyes wide, not so fearless as she'd been at the base of the mountain. Rannik toiled a ways behind, half crawling, hands leaving behind red smudges as he dragged himself up the mountain steps. Joros looked down at the forest, a dark blanket far below, swallowed up by the night. The ground was gone, a distant memory, a legend overheard, a tale to terrify children. The two red points of Sorora's eyes hovered above the horizon, glaring over the world as Joros did. He looked up and up, to the light of the moon gleaming off the peak of Mount Roturo. They had a long way yet to go, and he was eager to be out of the cold. "Come," he said to the three, and he turned his eyes back to the steps and to the black shape that appeared before him. The sentinel loomed over him, blotting out the peak, blotting out the moon, a shape made of darkness itself, save for its eyes, which were the blue-tinged color of stars in the night sky.
"Speak,"
it grated, voice like crashing stones,